James Beard once said, "Food is our common ground, a universal experience." Think about that for a moment. Food truly is the one thing that brings us all together, and sometimes it does divide us. And while some of you may be thinking what I'm talking about is war, I'm actually talking about Thanksgiving dinner with my family at my parents' house when I was in college. But then again, maybe I am talking about war with me and my sister. Okay, enough philosophy. with dwindling days of summer, Tanya, Nicole, and I thought it would be a great time to talk about summer foods from around the world again and how incredibly diverse it is. And if you didn't know what you're listening to, I am Zen, and this is the Meet Us in Paris podcast, the podcast about all things travel, be it destinations, food, having an amazing time, or what to pack for your next trip. And as I said, here's Tanya.
Hey there. Hello.
Do you know who else is here? Yeah.
Yes.
We forgot her last time.
And we have Nicole. Hey, Nicole.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. How are you?
You're here.
I'm good. I'm here. Next time, maybe I should start so you don't forget about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? We're going to make you do the opening next time. We've had you do it a couple times, but next time you're going to do it.
Great.
So, Tanya, Nicole, I'm really excited to hear about your food choices because you guys have spent so much time south of the equator. I've only had a short experience down there. We usually talk about stuff from the northern hemisphere. Looking forward to it. But before you guys tell me, let's take a quick break to hear a short message from our sponsors. Meet Us in Paris is sponsored by the University of California, Irvine, Division of Continuing Education, and Notes by Nicole. Looking for a new career? Check us out at ce.uci.edu for our career-boosting courses. Looking for some trip ideas or getting the most from your vacation? Check out Notes by Nicole at notesbynicole.com.
I'm going to talk about choco torta, which I tasted in Argentina, where my husband's from. And Nicole, you're familiar with it, right?
It's so good.
Yeah,
it is amazing. It's like the most underrated dessert, I think.
So it is really simple. Is you have dulce de leche with cream cheese, and you mix that. Then there's these chocolate biscuits called chocolinas, which you can get on Amazon, and a little bit of chocolate milk, and maybe you want to sprinkle some ground espresso, not necessarily. And all you do is you mix the cream cheese, you layer the biscuits with a little bit of chocolate milk to dampen them up, and layer the thing. Go ahead and put, you know, dulce de leche, cream cheese mixture, more biscuits with a little bit of milk, and keep going until you have, you know, 10 inches. No, about 5 inches.
I wish it was that big.
Oh, what's this called? It's called choco torta.
Okay.
It's just dulce de leche, you know, with cookies. And then once it's put together, it's like, it doesn't look all that pretty, to be very honest. It's just this brown thing. Put it in the fridge, let it cool. Sometimes they put it in the freezer, and then it comes out. You can even put some ground, you know, like espresso. But I've usually eaten it at kids' birthdays, so they won't do that. But still, and it's to die for amazing. It's almost inspired by the tiramisu from Italy.
So yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it, and yeah, it looks like a tiramisu.
Mm-hmm. Now I think I'm gonna go find one today because so I don't delicious. Know about you guys. I am salivating. This is like like simple, like guilty pleasure.
It's really simple to do. Yeah, when I came back from Argentina the last time, I came home and I made it, and it was very dangerous. But it was so good. It was so good. Anyway, I brought the chocolinas from Argentina, but I did look at it, and how the heck did this all begin? And apparently there was this PR agency in 1982, and Nicole you weren't around. And
no, and I'm learning history today.
Yeah, this is history for you. And then, so this lady, Marite Bragaña, this, you know, a PR lady, had her two clients, the dulce de leche and cream cheese, or and her other client of the chocolinas, and she came up with it. And it became this national favorite, and it's still like this big deal. I had no idea. I thought that was pretty good, and it was a co-branding kind of in the time that probably they didn't have co-branding, right? Yeah. And I thought that was a really cool thing. I'm going to tell my Argentine in-laws when I see them. That's how it came to
be. So this is like a marketing thing. I mean, it could have been easily peanut butter and cream cheese.
It could have been anything. Exactly. It is so good, though. Now I want it.
Good.
I'm going to jump in and say there's something similar in Colombia, but this is just a side note because I'm going to make it tomorrow to take to some a gathering I'm having with some friends. It's the same thing, but it's condensed milk with some cream cheese. It's a mess. It's delicious. And then you put in graham crackers. Like I'm replacing them with graham crackers. And so much lemon that it kind of messes up the milk, makes it even more like firm. Mm-hmm. And you put it in the fridge, same thing. And then it's amazing. It's very similar. But I think, I'm sorry, this chocotorta is way better. Okay. All right, there.
So if you're going to sell me twice on a cold chocolate cake or like after the pool or after a good barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, you're after being in the sun, you want something like sweet and refreshing. I know some people will go with like an acai bowl or like ice cream, but I would totally eat one of those by myself.
All right. I sold you. Yay.
Thank you.
I'm gaining weight already.
Listening to this. So, Nicole, do you want to go? Do you have?
Yeah, I have one. I'll take it down south in Latin America. A little different, though. Mm-hmm. So, I am from Bolivia, from La Paz, and the summers in La Paz are very dry. But what I loved about them is that typically you spend a lot of time in family. Obviously, summer is over. Like the holiday period, so December, January. And so you do a lot of barbecues with family. And one of the summer food items I remember enjoying the most was arroz con queso, which is rice with cheese. It sounds really simple, but I think it comes down to the type of cheese. It's very salty, rich cheese, white cheese. And you add it to rice and you cook it together and it becomes
crunchy,
almost like a pudding.
Oh, but it's like salty. A pudding.
Yeah.
Very almost nice.
Like. It's a little runny. But if you eat that with like, you know, beef or like any other barbecue item, it just kind of that symbolizes summer for me. It's that.
And what is it called? Cheese.
Arroz con queso.
All right, I'm looking it up.
It's very simple.
Yeah,
nothing but it's super crazy, but it's my favorite. And I have a feeling it, like they make this in Brazil and probably Argentina.
Do you know how to make it?
You know, I never learned.
That's what you're doing this weekend.
Last summer, my cousin wanted to make it for some friends in New York. So she recreated it and it didn't take a lot of effort. I think because of the altitude, the consistency was a little different, but the flavor came out to be quite similar.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Very good.
That's mine.
I like that. Okay. Very nice.
How about you, Zen?
Oh, geez. It's my turn. So I was looking at the arroz con queso. I was like, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So what I have is something called a halo halo. Do you know what a halo halo is?
No.
So I try to tell you guys about things that I've experienced. Sometimes I tell you about things I haven't that I want to, but a halo halo is a Filipino dessert, Halo halo means apparently mix, and what it is, a jumble of sweet and colorful ingredients mixed together. And it is, have you guys had shave ice, like Japanese shaved ice? It's their version of Japanese shaved ice. We have
Latin American shaved ice.
Okay. So it's essentially shave ice. They'll put something like condensed milk on it, sweetened condensed milk on it. And then they'll put things like, it depends on the halo halo. Some of them have things that, like, there's in Asia, they'll take beans and they'll let them marinate in like a sugar water. So there'll be sweet beans when you cook. So they would put things like sweet beans on it. They might have different types of jellos on it. They would have different types of ice cream on it. And it just depends. It's like when you go into a soda fountain and you get ice cream, you can get like a sundae, or you can get like a malt, or you can get, it's the same thing when it seems like a halo halo. They have all sorts of different flavors that you can get. And the, where this came from is apparently it's, was traced to pre-war Japanese Filipinos who brought the, essentially the Japanese shave ice to the Philippines. And they started making variations of that in the Philippines. One, some of the other ingredients could be like bananas, sweet corn, those types of things. And what I also found out, which I thought was very, very interesting, was that at one point they even some, so like maybe a, roughly a hundred, over 100 years ago, the ice was brought in from the American ice trade. So they were actually taking ice from the East Coast of the United States, taking them across the ocean in a boat south of, well, it gets crazier, south of Africa, because I was like, how did they get it from the East Coast to the Philippines? Because the Panama Canal wasn't built at that point. So they would actually go south below Africa and bring it back up to Asia. And it was like water from like frozen lakes and stuff like that from the East Coast of the United States. So it goes back that far. So, and then there was American ice plants, but if you ever have a chance to try it, go try them. They're fantastic.
So was it like a delicacy back then? Because it sounds like there was a lot of effort to move ice.
I don't know if it was a delicacy back then. That I couldn't tell you. All I know is when I was doing a little research on it, that they were bringing, but it must have been, right? It must have been very expensive. Yeah. So, but if you're ever in a Filipino grocery store, lots of times they'll have a little courtyard, like a little restaurant area. You can get it there. Or there's their equivalent of McDonald's is something called Jollibee. And Jollibee actually serves this halo halo.
Interesting. They're kind of like ice cream floats. I just looked them up.
Yeah. Is that like in Orange County?
There's a Jollibee here in Orange County. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds like a field trip.
Yeah, that's a corner. There's one on the corner of Von Karman and Bronca.
Well, it is right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Close to where we work.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
All right.
Very nice.
Next up.
So I guess that's me, huh?
Sure.
Well, okay. It's funny. We're just going to go with continue with the rice here because arroz con leche, which is similar to rice pudding, but it isn't. And I like it so much that I have requested it to be, instead of a birthday cake, I get a whole thing of arroz con leche. And then you guys have a little, and then this whole thing is mine and I take it home. Or it's that's how much I like it. It is, I looked into it a little bit, the origin. It said it could be traced back to Persia. And I thought that was interesting. And it started there, and the dish was called shir birinj. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And then it spread in other parts to other parts of the world, Middle East, Spain. And I like it because it depends on where you go. The flavor, a little bit similar to your rice and cheese that you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Nicole, in Mexico, like, arroz con leche has a little bit cinnamon and vanilla and has raisins. Yeah. In Colombia, we do it with coconut milk, grated coconut, and I know we've put in condensed milk. And in Puerto Rico, it's condensed milk and it's, you know, and then some places do it, serve it cold, other serve it warm. I just in love with it. It's just, you know, you cook it forever. And I almost find it similar to like when you're cooking risotto, that you keep adding the milk or you keep adding the condensed milk and you keep going slowly until it starts to bubble up and it gets a certain consistency. And there, my friend's mother is the one who makes it the best that I've ever had. And she makes it for me. In the past, she's made it for my birthday. And I won't buy the ones in the stores. It's just too sad to eat. But now I want to have dessert. You know how hungry I am after this?
I know. You're reading my mind. I don't know what time it is, but it is right around dinner time for me, and I cannot.
Well, anyway, so I think you can find this kind of meal or kind of dessert everywhere, because I was reading also that in the Middle East, they would flavor it with rose water and mix it with sweeteners in Asia and different places. So it's everywhere. But rice pudding is similar. I'm going to say it's pretty much the same. It just depends on how you cook it and depending on the culture. But I like it cold. And I'm even sighing. It sounds so delicious. Okay, that's it.
We should all Google closest place to me serving arroz con leche.
Favorite desserts is arroz con leche. Okay.
Now, I have one that's not rice.
good for you.
But it's taking us back to something cold and icy, just like what Zen shared. But it is a Puerto Rican shaved ice dessert called piragua. It's shaped like a cone, and it has fruit flavor syrup. They're sold by vendors known as piragueros. And they have little push carts where they sell them all across Puerto Rico. I'm sure we've all had something like this, but what was interesting to me is the types of syrups that they use. I've never tried sesame seed syrup, but apparently that's what they serve it with. They also have other interesting flavors like guava. I would love to try something like that.
That would be amazing,
Sugar cane, tamarind, and your good old vanilla as well.
I was going to say that sounds good, but it sounds like also different. I remember, Zen, you talked about something like that from Hawaii, similar to what you were just talking earlier, but or maybe it was Kristen, our other co-host, remember? And then we thought, different countries will have kind of this shaved ice in their culture. It's delicious.
The shaved ice in Hawaii, I think, is closer to – I mean, it's funny because I think the shaved ice in Hawaii is – I don't think I brought it up – is closer to Japanese shaved ice.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there's lots of Japanese influence in Hawaii, but that's just off the top of my head. So, actually, it's strangely enough, I'm not going to talk about it, but I'll just mention it. Taiwan also has their own version of shave ice, which is somewhere between a Japanese and a Filipino shave ice. So it's the same thing where they put the condensed milk and sugar and condensed milk. They put sweetened beans. They put different types of fruits on it, and it's amazing. So Taiwanese shaved ice is really good. But that's not what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about an Indian recipe. It is a recipe called kulfi. Now, this one I have not had, but it sounded amazing. So it is a Indian ice cream. It's designed to be, it would melt slowly because, the heat in India would melts things down, so it was actually formulated so it would melt slowly. It's always served, and I'm going to butcher this word, in a clay pot called a matkas. And it also, this little, it actually, like, if you've ever seen in the United States, like, you see, like, a bean bowl, you know, they're kind of, like, curved, like a witch's, like a witch's pot or something like that, but little tiny, like the size of your hand. So there's little clay pots made specifically that you eat these kulfi in. And then also the bowl helps insulate the ice cream so it doesn't melt as well. It's sweetened flavored milk, is slow cooked, and it's constantly stirred so it doesn't stick. And then they add all, and it gets caramelized. Now, if we mentioned dulce de leche earlier, essentially dulce de leche is sweetened condensed milk,
right,
which is caramelized.
Yep.
So this must have a very similar type of flavor. And then they mix it in with ice and anyways, that's what it is. So it's a denser, creamier version of ice cream. And it sounds a lot like, anyways, it just sounds amazing. I want to give it a try. It's a lot like a frozen custard. That's what I was going to say.
That sounds amazing.
Have you guys had custard? And I'm so sorry,
I didn't know this. I would have tried it in India. I would have really appreciated knowing about this ice cream in the 100-degree weather in India.
Right? Right? Yeah. Have you guys had custard before?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like American custard? It's just essentially like, it's like ice cream with less aerated. So this is supposedly very similar to like a custard like that.
Very cool.
Very nice. This has been the most, you know, hungry I've been since I've done a podcast with you all. Gosh, this was delicious.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, all for our summer foods around the world. Thanks for tuning in again to our podcast. Do you want some more? Check out our archives.
I think it almost came out to be almost like a summer desserts from around the world in so many ways.
It was yummy.
But again, we want to thank our sponsor, the University of California, Irvine, Division of Continuing Education, and Notes by Nicole. Nicole, why don't you tell us about Notes by Nicole?
Yeah, Notes by Nicole is a travel blog that offers different kinds of blog styles, whether that is long form blogs, short form, as well as downloadable maps. And if you are in the business of getting discounts for different gadgets for travel, you can also find that out there. I also offer some travel advising through my website, and that is notesbynicole.com. Nicole is N-I-K-O-L.
Division of Continuing Education, we offer the best professional education. If you're looking for a new job, trying to get that next promotion, go check us out at ce.uci.edu. And until next time, thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.